While you're doing that, I do want to invite you, men, all the men, Monday night. Frank, would you mind standing up? Frank Starman is conducting a men's Monday night Bible study, 7 p.m., and it's located where? In the bubble room area, right out in the foyer. That's where the men can play a little bit. And all the guys, we want to invite you to come out. I've been hearing some really good things about it, and there's a good number of guys that are hanging out with Frank on Monday night. Qualified Bible teacher, you need to be here. Elder Frank, he's a great guy, and he'll be teaching you some good things. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. The Bible said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So let's read it together. If you haven't found it in your Bible yet, just look up on the screen. All right, ready? Let's read it. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Key word there is holding fast. Holding fast the confession of our hope, or what we are expecting to come to pass, or if you will, our dreams. God, we need to hold fast. We need to hold on to what we believe is coming our way, what you put in our heart. And when you do it without wavering, because God who promised is faithful, meaning that he will bring it to pass. But the hold fast is real key in this whole entire scripture. Because the dreams that you think about, the dreams that you shared with the people that you're sitting with, when you shared with them your greatest yet unfulfilled dream, what you'd like to do or what you'd like to become or what you'd like to see happen, those can be expected if you hold fast. Because they are God-given. Dreams are like seeds that God plants in the soul of a man. Or I should say, in the spirit of a man. And when that soul begins to take root, it will begin to grow its root in the soul, in the mind, will, and the emotions of a person. And suddenly it begins to take over your life. It begins to take up space in your life. And it now is drawing on all the energy, all the nutrients, everything in you is now contributing to the growth of that dream seed. And so God works that way. He plants seeds of dreams, of things that you could expect and things that you'd love to see in your life. And God puts them there. But these seeds have to be awakened. God causes them to be awakened by His Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, tonight, as we're ministering this word, one word that God can confirm in your heart can cause one of those dream seeds to begin to germinate. Or it can cause it to give some miracle grow in it. And suddenly now it's getting big in your life as you sit here. I've been in those places before where I've had dreams in my life and I'm in a meeting like this, or unexpectedly, suddenly a word comes, a prayer time, a scripture that I'm reading. Somebody says something to me, and then inside my dreams just starts growing supernaturally. And so you need to expect tonight that your dreams are going to begin to get real big in your life. Believe that God can bring them to pass, because everything in this world has started with a dream. Whether it's the light bulb or whether it's the automobile or any invention whatsoever, it all began with a dream. And those dreams are given to us by God. What is it that you think about during the day when there's nobody else around and your mind can go to neutral? What is it that you begin to envision, and what are you hoping to see happen in your life? Maybe it's for your children. Maybe it's for your marriage. Maybe it's for your business. Maybe it's for your ministry. But those who dare to dream the impossible are the ones who will continually to see the impossible come to pass. If you don't believe you can do the impossible or dream the impossible, then the impossible will never come. But those that dream the impossible, I mean, break out. You know, there's no restrictions on us. We don't have to say, well, we're not qualified, don't have enough money, nobody will believe it, nobody will support it. Don't even worry about that, because at this point, that's not even important. What's important is that if you can dream it, if you can dare to believe it, if you'll do the impossible, you're eventually going to see the impossible come to pass. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph. Joseph was just a young man, some say only 17 years of age. He was the favorite of his father. He had a multicolored coat. He would walk around and he would show himself as being the favored. And he had a dream. He had a dream of his brothers bowing down to him. It was a big dream. And he began to share that dream with his brothers. And his brothers didn't like it. And that's something we can learn from right now. That a lot of times people aren't going to embrace your dream. They're not going to get on your bandwagon. They're not going to feel like you can do it or that it is even worthy of you. But Joseph understood that God gave him that dream. And we can dream again. And some of us in this room have lost our dreams. Some of us in this room have let go of them. And others have had them stolen away by circumstances or by people. And I want to talk tonight just briefly. I'm not going to keep you long, but I just want to share with you how to do the impossible dream in your life. How to do that impossible dream. And number one, you've got to learn to look beyond where you are. You know, the enemy has a great way of creating circumstances to convince us that what we're currently going through and our current situation disqualifies us from ever believing that our dream can ever come to pass. We have to learn how to look beyond where we are, because where we are is not where we're going to stay. Where you are currently is not where you're going to be forever. You know, I've learned something about storms. They blow in, but they blow out. And so darkness comes, but then the light comes again, doesn't it? We see the sun rising again. That's why God gave us hope in nature. He gave us hope to show us that, yeah, it may be dark, but hold on, because the sun's going to rise again. And it's going to be a beautiful morning. And it's going to light up everything. And so there's hope. And so all of us have to look toward the hope that God gives us. And that's why we have to hold fast. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Hold fast the confession of our hope, believing that God can bring these things to pass. But here's the enemy's strategy. The enemy's strategy is to somehow present to us overwhelming evidence that where we are today and what is happening in our lives completely disqualifies us from ever believing that these dreams will come to pass. Think about Abraham with me. Abraham was living as a pagan worshiper, a moon worshiper, and he was called by God to leave the Ur of Chaldeans, and he was called to come to a promised land, and God said, look, I'm going to bring you into a land. I'm going to show you where it's at. It's going to be awesome. Now get going. And he never told him where to go or how to go or what it's going to look like when he got there. All he had to do was begin to go. And he had a dream. He had a dream in his heart, planted by God, that someday he would be in a land that God was going to show him. And the writer of Hebrews called it a city whose maker and builder was God. All he knew is that he was going to find something God had put his finger on. And sometimes we can't define our dreams. We really don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what it's going to be like. But we know one thing. We'll recognize when we get there. And we just have to keep forging forward. But how many know that life happens in between where you are and the fulfillment of your dream? And every time life happens, it has a way of stealing away our holding fast to the confession of our hope. It has a way of disqualifying us. It has a way of presenting to us evidence that either we're unworthy or undeserving of what God said He would do in our life. Many times we bring it on by our own admission. Many times by our own investment. By our own sowing into our lives. We make mistakes. And sure, we should be disqualified. But I want you to know something. God's dream seeds never rot in the life of a man or a woman. They are waiting to be stirred up and they are waiting to be released in your life and in my life. Abraham had all kinds of situations going into his life. I mean, he was presented with what we like to call colossal challenges. Have you ever had any colossal challenges? Or how about problematic circumstances? I've had a lot of problematic circumstances or horrific internal family problems. Now just think with me for a minute about Abraham. He leaves the Ur of the Chaldeans. He has a word from God. He has a dream. He packs up everything he owns. He puts him in a caravan. Off he goes. He gets to Haran. He camps out there and then his dad dies. You say, well, big deal. His dad dies. You know, sometimes a death of a father can be so devastating in your life. it can steal your dream. It might be from a tragic circumstance. It might have been a debilitating disease, cancer, that stole your father away. It might have been an accident or some drug abuse, or it may have been murder. It could have been all kinds of things that stole your father away or stole someone special in your life away prematurely. Abram's father died in Haran. And that changes everything, man. That gets a hold of you. That gets a hold of you. I remember my father passed away 25 years ago. He wasn't the perfect father. He never told me he loved me until about 2 minutes before he did die. But you know what? I still loved him. He was still my dad. He only had a third grade education, born in Hungary, an immigrant through New York, Ellis Island. He wasn't great. He wasn't perfect. He didn't know anything about parenting, but I loved him. And I cried uncontrollably when he died. And I remember walking up the steps, tucking my kids into bed that night after a few days after we buried him. And I thought, you know what? I'm the patriarch. Now I'm the dad. There's nobody else. It's me. All the responsibility rests on my shoulders. You know, sometimes we recover from those things. And sometimes we don't recover that quickly from those things. But we can't just read Abraham's father, Terah, died in Haran and just go on to the next verse. This is a real person who had lost a real father, who had to determine whether or not he could proceed with his dream. And it affected him. And the enemy will use these kinds of things in our life when we have losses, when we experience betrayal, when people disappoint us, when we lose relationships. We're talking about situations that will try to steal your dream. What about Lot? I mean, he brought Lot with him, and Lot determined that he was going to camp next to Sodom. He took the Fertile Valley. Abraham said, you go, and wherever you go, I'll go the other way. And so Lot chose for himself. And look what happened to Lot. Lot got messed up, man. Lot was involved in all kinds of perversion. Lot was involved in all kinds of pagan worship. He was living in the middle of it. Then he gets conquered by these crazy kings that come in and take over Sodom. And then Abraham hears about it. On his way to pursue his dream, not only did his dad die, now his nephew's caught up in this crazy perverted world. And he's calling Uncle Abraham. And he said, can you come bail me out? Bail you out? What do you think I am, made of money? So he grabs all of his servants and they go and they conquer these five kings and they get Lot out of the mess that he was in. And then what at the end of the story, what did Lot do? He ends up camping in a city near Sodom. And oh yeah, that's right, I got to pursue my dream. I got a little bit momentarily misguided here. I got a little bit of momentary interruption in my dream. I had to go rescue my nephew. That was right after I had to bury my father. But then Abraham not only dealt with a nephew called Lot, but he had to deal with a woman called Hagar. Now, whose idea was that? I think it was Sarah's idea. She couldn't bear a child, so he gave Abraham her handmaiden, and she has a baby with Hagar. Now, if that wasn't enough problems to have another woman in your life, now he's got a son named Ishmael. And there's jealousy, and there's strife, and there's intrigue, and there's bitterness, all wrapped up at Thanksgiving table. And you want me to pursue my dreams? You want me to somehow keep my focus and hold fast on the confession of my hope? You know what? I give up. I can't do this anymore because family is just too crazy. Sometimes we forget that Abraham was a real person who dealt with real problems in his family, in his personal life, in his emotional life. And yet we find out he became the father of our faith. And then famine came, and there was nothing to eat. And so he picked up everybody, and they moved to Egypt. And then there was all kinds of lying, deceiving there, deceitfulness there. He said, look, just tell them you're my sister. And then they get evicted from Egypt. You see, the Bible characters are not really unlike you or me. It's very similar. But the difference is that some of them learn how to hold fast to something where some of us have let go of what we needed to hold on to. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, you better hold fast to the confession of your faith and look beyond where you are, because you might be in the middle of a storm, but there is a clearing in the horizon. And I saw that just the other day, and it really spoke to me. It seemed like there was one storm after another coming in the other day. It would rain, then it would clear up for a bit. Then it would rain and blow and get cold, and then it would warm up a little bit more and get sun out, and then it would storm again. And I saw the horizon. It was black, it was dark, it was raining. And then there was a little sliver of light. And then there was dark black clouds again beyond that sliver of light. And God spoke to me and He said, yeah, you might be in the middle of a storm and of darkness right now. But just like you see that light, there is hope on the other side of the storm that you're in. And don't lose your focus. Don't let go of your hope. Don't let go of your dream. And church, we've got to dream again. We've got to dream that we can see God's kingdom become a reality in this region. Regardless of what they're reporting on television, what they say about the city, what people themselves have said about their own lives, it doesn't matter. As long as we can hold fast to the confession of our hope, God can bring it to pass. But I just wanted you to see tonight, you're not unlike anybody in the Bible. You've got problems too with family. You've had losses. You've had disappointments. You've got challenges in your life, just like Abraham did. And just like Joseph did. Joseph had this grandiose dream. And what did it get him? It got him a pit. He gets thrown into his pit. Not by his enemies, by his friends, by his family, by his brothers. The people that should be supporting you in this seem to be turning their back on you. Into the pit he goes, and then off in a caravan. Then he finds Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's house was just a setup. The enemy just tried to set him up, to somehow shut him up, and to steal his dream away. And he gets in prison. And some commentators say he was in prison 12 years. It wasn't shock parole. 12 years! And while he was in there, he was interpreting dreams of other people. His dream was stagnant. His dream wasn't coming to pass. Why is it everybody I'm around, their dreams seem to be coming to pass? I'm helping them achieve their dreams. Nobody's helping me with mine. I don't know if he said that, but I'd be saying that if I was Joseph locked up in prison. And then the one guy betrayed him and told him he was going to tell him, you know, the king about him, and he never did. Sometimes you find yourself in a pit or in a Potiphar situation, or sometimes we find ourselves in a prison and we think, God, you know, this is not the way it ought to be. This is supposed to be the kingdom. I'm supposed to be above and not beneath. I'm supposed to be like, you know, shouting hallelujah. And right now I don't feel like shouting anything, but I just hate the world. I hate everybody and I want out. Don't let go of your dream, friend. And learn how to look beyond where you are, because where you are is not where you'll be. You and I have got to get that in our spirit today. We're on a pathway. We're on a journey. And things are going to change. That's why people have to understand that things always change. You can't keep things the same. Some parents try to do that with their children. You can't be their mother all their life. You got to let them go, Mom. You got to let them grow up, make their own decisions. You got to let them be a mom. You have to let them be a wife. You know, it's a transition. Things change. I've heard people say, you know, I've been here for so long, 30 years. Well, church isn't like it used to be. No kidding. It never will be. We can't go back to what it was in Building 1 in 1987. It's over. It's in the past. We're growing. We're moving. We're on a journey. Where you are now is not going to always be. I sit here and I watch this worship team, which is a dynamic team. But guess what? Enjoy the moment, man, because it's not going to be like that forever. People will come and people will go. People will change. Problems will arise. But you're on a journey. Don't hold on to what was. Hold on to what God said will be. And look beyond where you are. And don't get disappointed because things don't stay the same. Don't be disappointed. Don't get disenchanted. Don't get disillusioned. Because problems begin to rise in your life. They're going to come. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. But know this, I've overcome every one of them. And I've planted a seed within you. Hold fast to the seed that is in your spirit. Hold on to the dream. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 12. You know, I think Abraham at this point could have said, you know what? Enough is enough. I quit. I'm going back to Ur. I don't need this mess. I don't need this pressure. This is what it says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. It didn't feel right. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which are the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He didn't let go when Ishmael became a problem. He didn't let go when Sarah and Hagar were in a cat fight. He didn't let go when he had to bury his dad. He didn't let go when he got evicted from Egypt. He didn't let go when Lot couldn't get no sense. You understand what I'm saying? Real life issues, he kept hold of the dream. And some of us have to re-embrace your dream. Because you said enough is enough and you've let go. Abraham let go of defeat. Abraham let go of discouragement. Abraham let go of disillusionment and he held tight to his dream. Hold fast. It's a compound Greek word. Kata echo. Kata means this, something that comes down hard. And the second word, echo, means this. There's a notion of possession. In other words, to embrace something tightly and not let it move. The writer of Hebrews saying, I want you to come down hard on your dream. Embrace it tightly and don't let it move. Come down hard on it. In other words, sit on it. Get your weight, put it on top of it, and don't let it go. Because everything in your world is going to try to pull it out from under you like a rug, and you're going to go flying in the air and land flat on your can, and you're going to want to know what happened in your life. But God said, no, hold fast, sit on it. It means this, take control of it, dominate it, don't let it slip away. Take control of it, dominate it, don't let it slip away. You and I have a responsibility to manage our dream. And the only thing we have to do is hold on to it. God will grow it. And not let it go. Do you have a dream? Do you have an expectation about your future? Have you given up? Do you think you're too old? Do you think you're too young? Do you think you're, you know, too female, too male? I don't know what it is. You think you're too poor, too rich? What's your excuse? Where's your dream? Hold on to it. Dominate it. Control it. Look beyond where you are. Let's believe God that He's going to bring it to pass. Church, I believe it's going to come to pass. God has a dream for this city. God has a dream for your life, this church. God has a dream for America. God has a dream for the nations. Part of that is our dream, individually as we contribute to it. So He's talking about holding fast on it. He uses the same Greek word in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. And this is what Paul was saying as far as sitting on it, dominating, controlling it. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip away. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The word suppress is kata echo, which basically means they come down hard on it. They sit on it, they dominate it, they control truth. The way they did that with unrighteousness, the way they suppressed or sat on truth and didn't let it come forth, that's how we sit on our dreams. We don't let them slip away. Do you have a dream? Do you have a dream of Frank, do you have a dream of having hundreds of men coming out on a Monday night, transforming their lives? And do you have a dream of once a year having a conference where we have to rent the Maybe Center, not the Maybe Center, that's in Tulsa. What's the one? The Shostein, whatever, Shostein, whatever, what's it? Huh? Woolstein. Woolstein Center? Is that a dream? Is it that big? Can we believe we could put 10,000 men in a weekend out of a Bible study that starts on Monday with 15? Do you have a dream? Don't let it go. Hold on to it. We had a prophetic word last night about the worship team in Solon. When the word came forth that the music will come from heaven and it will go throughout the earth and it will bless the nations. Do you have that kind of dream? It's a little hard sometimes to look beyond where you are when you're trying to write a song. And I'll use Ashley as an example. And she's getting, you know, this morning sickness thing, and she's trying to write a song, and, you know, things are just kind of yucky around the house, and Jonathan didn't come home like he said he was going to come home in the right time, and he forgot to bring the milk and the Taco Bell or whatever. And she's trying to write her song, and she's like, I could write this thing if he would just have brought me the Taco Bell, you know? But that's the reality of what Abraham went through. The Ishmael, the Hagar thing, the Egypt thing, the famine thing, the Lot thing, his father dying. It's the real life that comes sometimes to just take away our dreams and say, you know what? I can't do this now. Sit on it. Dominate it. Control it. And don't let it slip away. You got to fight for your dreams. You got to fight for it. You got to hold on to it. You can't let it go. Well, I don't have any money. I don't have any support. Nobody believes in me. You believe in you. God believes in you. And this thing can come to pass. That's what this word means. Hold fast. See, whenever you and I are tempted to get discouraged, give up, or release our dream, we got to remember people like Abraham or Sarah. We need to remember people like Joseph. We need to remember people like David. Or Solomon, or like Paul. These are regular people that dealt with issues that they had to look beyond. And folks, learn to look beyond where you are currently. God has a plan for us. You know, the other day it was like rainy and cold. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know, this is like crazy. It's cold and rainy. Man, it's windy. This is bad weather. I need to go to Florida or something. And it's already April, and I'm feeling like Florida. You know, it's like April. When's it going to warm up? And then I heard on the news the other day that we haven't had 80 degrees since last October, like 7th. So I started counting. I said, like, that's 6 months ago. We haven't had 80 degrees for 6 months. So when are we going to get a break, God? And he showed me those line of storms that were coming in. And then I looked at the forecast, and I looked at Saturday. Said Saturday is supposed to be 82 degrees and sunny. Oh, I started planning a party. I'm going to have a party. Say, well, for what? For me. I'm going to have a party. I'm getting my motorcycle out. I'm going to get my gear on. I'm going to rev up the engine. I'm going to let the hair blow in the wind. And I'm just going to ride my bike. You got to plan your victory. You got to look forward to the sunrise. You got to look beyond the storm. You got to start planning now to celebrate. This is what Psalm 91 promises those who find God as a refuge in time of trouble. He said it this way in the Message Bible. I love this. He says, if you'll hold on to me for dear life. In other words, gotta echo. Gotta echo me. I want you to come down hard. And I want you to sit on what I've put in your spirit and dominate and control it and don't let go. If you'll do that, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Then he says this. This is where I got the Saturday thing from. Call me and I'll answer and be at your side. In bad times, I'll rescue and then I'll throw you a party. God wants to throw us a party. But it's hard to even think that way when you're burying your father. Or when you're dealing with your family's problems or your marriage. When somebody's betrayed you and you think, gosh, you know what? I just quit. I can't do this anymore. This is just too hard. You've got to look beyond where you are. You've got to sit on it. You've got to dominate it. You've got to hold fast to your dream. And you need to start planning your party. Because God said, if you'll hold on to me with dear life, I'll get you out of any trouble. And then Genesis 45:7-8, Joseph finally had reached second in command. Isn't that what the Bible says? He was second only to Pharaoh. He had all jurisdiction in all of Egypt. He saw the dream. He interpreted it. He said 7 lean years, 7 fat years. He began to store up grain. He was feeding literally the whole world. His brothers finally came to buy grain. He messed with them. You know how he did and how he maneuvered to get Benjamin back. And finally Dad came as well. They thought for sure that he was going to take them out and punish them. He was in a room with them and he said this to them. God sent me on ahead to pave the way and make sure there was a remnant in the land to save your lives in an amazing act of deliverance. Do you believe this? He was able to look beyond his current circumstances, keep focused on the dream, hold on to it, and then realize no matter what had happened to him, it was all God's plan to use on behalf of his family. And then the next scripture says this, so you see, it wasn't you who sent me here, but it was God. He set me in place as a father to Pharaoh. Now, I want you to understand, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. Joseph's dream was bigger than Pharaoh. Because now he says, I'm a father to Pharaoh. Then he says he put me in charge of his personal affairs and made me ruler of all Egypt. He said, look, I'm the one that's ruling Egypt. Pharaoh's not. He's just a figurehead. I'm his daddy. Who's your daddy? That's what he was saying. Joseph was saying, I'm his daddy. Do you get this? In the middle of adversity, in the middle of problems, in the middle of darkness, in the middle of storms, in the middle of betrayal and intrigue, he held on to his dream. Now, why do you and I have to hold on to our dreams? He said, it was for your sake that God sent me here. And this is my closing statement, if you will. Your dream is connected to someone else's life. And if you let go, they won't have anything to hold on to. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. Don't let go of your dream. Because if you do, when I get there, there won't be a rope. There won't be a net to catch me. There won't be a boat to rescue me. There won't be a glass of water to refresh me. There won't be a meal to sustain me. Because your life and dream is my connection. Look beyond where you are. Church, let's get our dream back, collectively and individually. Let's begin to see we can go and do things that we never thought possible in the natural. Let's begin to cultivate the dreams within our spirit. Let God grow them. And regardless of what other people think, who cares? Let's hold on to it. Let's sit down on it. Let's dominate and control it and never let it go. Let's believe that God can do exactly what he said because he's faithful. Do you believe that today? I believe that with all my heart. Kata echo. It means this, something coming down so hard, so overpowering and dominating to the point of subjugating. Holding fast means to conquer, subdue, and express its overwhelming, influencing power over the contrary circumstances that are defying your dreams. That's exactly what it means. So the writer of Hebrews just wasn't saying, keep repeating your positive confession. No, far from it. That is so shallow. It means to control and dominate and sit down hard. Come down hard on your dream and you better fight for it because you can't let it go. Because there's somebody on the other end of the fulfillment of your dream that's waiting for that. Because when you fulfill your dream, it'll be their connectivity to God. Wow, God, that's awesome. So I put together a little confession tonight that I'd like for us to say together, okay? It's up on the screens and you can get a copy of it. I don't know if we passed them out, but they should be out in the back on the foyer somewhere. But I want to declare this together because you see, we have to begin to confess about our confession. And we're going to hold fast to what we believe and what God's put in our hearts. And we're not going to let go. Some of you, the only reason why you're in church tonight is because you haven't let go. You have every reason to let go. You've had every problem, every circumstance. Anybody else would have quit by now, but you're a dreamer. And tonight it's beginning to grow. Your soul is filling up with the root system of a dream, of a destiny that God's planned for you. All starts with the seed. And God is the dream maker. So let's come in agreement with it right now, shall we? Let's begin to declare it. I boldly declare that my word from God will come to pass. It may take a little while for it to happen, but I will firmly hang on to the promise God has given me. And because I refuse to... Come on, church. I stand by faith and declare that it is only a matter of time until I see the manifestation of what I'm believing God for. I hold tight and refuse to let go of my dream, and nothing will steal it away from me. That last sentence, I want to do it one more time. I hold tight and refuse to let go of my dream, and nothing will steal it away from me. Bow your heads. You're here this evening, and you've been fighting for your dream. Satan has been fighting to take it from you. And it's begun to slip. And you say, you know what? I'm not going to let it slip. I'm going to hold on to it, dominate it, sit on it. I'm going to control it. And I'm going to come in agreement right now in prayer with you. But that's exactly what will happen. You have a dream for your home, for your children. Do you have a dream for your business? Do you have a dream for your marriage? Come on. You've got to hold on to it. You've got to dominate it. You've got to conquer it. You got to hold fast. You got to kind of echo it. Altar ministers, elders, would you join me along the right in the front of this altar? While our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask this question. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for whatever it is that you're believing God for, we want to come in agreement right now. We want to stand with you that we're going to believe that you're going to fulfill that dream, and it's going to connect somebody to God as a result. And you need that resolve tonight. You say, Pastor, I need that resolve tonight. We're going to stand in a moment. And when we do, I'm going to ask those who feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to come in agreement in prayer with one of our altar ministers and elders in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Come on. Just come on out. Just come for prayer right now. Say, I'm going to believe God for my dream. I'm going to believe God that it's going to come to pass. I want to hold on to it. I know that God will do it, even in spite of all the circumstances. I got to look beyond where I'm at right now. Come on, you can look beyond where you are. Jesus can do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm never going to let you go, God. Come on, why don't you just slip a hand up to heaven and say, God, I'm never going to let you go. I'm not going to let go what you're doing in me, what you're doing in our church, what you're doing in my family. I'm not going to let go of it. Come on, make that declaration. Hallelujah. If you need that prayer, we want you to move from where you are to one of these folks down here and let us come in agreement in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you that the word of the Lord is true, that it is right, that it is like a sharp sword. I pray, God, that it would go deep down into our spirit tonight. We would recognize that we are the containers of the dream seeds. We believe tonight, Father, that you are the dream maker. And so, God, we don't look at our current situation. We look beyond. We see on the horizon the light that's coming. We look forward to the party that you're going to throw for us. We know, God, that we are going to hold on to you for dear life. Now, Jesus, bless and empower, we pray, for we ask it in your name. Amen. Now, if you're here tonight, you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you were to die today, you say, well, that ain't going to happen. I'm a young man. I'm a young woman. If it were to happen today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Or would you not know where you would go? You know, the Word of God tells us that these things were written that we can know about our future, and all it is really knowing Christ. For the Bible says in John, 1 and 12. For as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. But you've got to receive him. Have you received him? And if you haven't done it, we're going to ask you now, before you go out that door, that you come to the front, pray with somebody about your eternal salvation. Just ask the question, maybe. Say, would you pray for me? But we don't want you to leave this room without that assurance that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. See you on Saturday morning at 10. Don't forget, Minister Claire's party is Friday night at 6:30. Tickets are still, I think, available. I'm not real sure, but I believe they are. And you can be a part of that to celebrate her retirement. And then, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to continue in a message on the manifestations of the Spirit and the power of God. So I hope you'll be here. Love on somebody. God's loving on you. See you next time.